Good evening, everyone. Welcome to, this is Tuesday, March 25th.
Sixth.
Sorry. It's better now. 26th. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Guthrie.
Here.
Councilmember Ray.
Here.
Councilmember Brown.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello.
Here.
And Mayor Ferrara.
Here. Item three is our flag salute, and we're very pleased they're going to do our flag salute for us. If you would please remain standing after the flag salute for our invocation. Dr. Mayor Harnish from Baha'i Faith is here to do that for us. Okay. Gentlemen, we're ready when you are.
O God, thou kind Lord, these are thy servants who have gathered in this meeting, have turned unto thy kingdom, and are in need of thy bestowal and blessing. O God, we are as plants, and thy bounty is as a rain. Refresh and cause these plants to grow through thy bestowal. We are ignorant, make us wise. We are material, endow us with spirit. We are needy, enrich and bless us from thy boundless treasury. Thou art mighty, thou art powerful, thou art the giver and the ever bounteous.
Thank you, Dr. Harnish. Appreciate you being here this evening. Okay, now we're ready for the microphone, and I'm not sure if all of you have been here before, so you're holding the microphone and you're shaking your head as if to say, what am I supposed to do now? Okay, so what we want to hear about when you do our flag salute, we want to hear about all of the fun things that PAC 13 has been doing and some of the things that you've been doing when you go to your meetings. So who wants to start?
Sold popcorn.
Okay. All right. What else?
We've done archery.
Archery.
We've built tents.
Tents? We set up tents. Okay.
We get prizes.
What kind of prizes?
Like badges.
Okay, we've got to talk into the microphone. There you go.
Basically just different badges, like for earning things.
So merit badges, you get badges for things that you do? Okay, good.
We also did BB gun shooting.
Okay, at safe targets, right, where nobody's in the way. Okay, good.
We camp.
Okay, wait. Where do you go camping?
Camp Mabel French.
Okay.
We do slingshots.
What was that? You do what? Okay, good. Excellent. Anything else? This is your chance. You're on television. So anything else? Who wants the microphone? Okay. All right. Okay. Maybe you can pass the microphone back to him and so we can...
Well, Camp Mabel French that we camp at is in need of donations because it's, well, you know.
So I give you the microphone and now you're going to hit us up for money? Is that what we're doing here?
No, I just want.
Okay. No. That's good.
That's good.
Just yeah. All right. Well, let us know if there's work to do out there, and maybe some of us can help. We do that sort of thing. Okay. Anything else that anybody would like to add? All right. Well, we really appreciate you taking time to be here this evening and doing our flag salute. Will you come back and do it again? Even if it means you have to say something into the microphone, will you still come back? Is that a yes? Okay. All right. Thanks to moms and dads for bringing them here. Okay. That's it. Thank you. Okay. I really like the way that goes. If you can get the first one to talk, then we're good. All right, moving on the agenda, item 5 is agenda review. Did want to make an announcement that council just returned from closed session where we discussed pending litigation, and we have nothing to report at this time. Additionally, on March 12th, the council met in closed session as well. We discussed 3 matters, 2 labor issues, and also a real property matter. And once again, the council took no reportable action. Item 5B, move that all ordinances presented for introduction or adoption this evening be read in title only and all further readings be waived.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second to discussion. Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? The motion carries. Item 6 is special presentations. We have none this evening. Item 7 is community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for members of the public to come forward and comment on any item that is not on this evening's agenda. We would ask that you keep your comments brief, 3 minutes or less. Please address the council as one body. Anyone who would like to come forward, community comments and suggestions. Mr. Ross, good evening.
Steve Ross, 211 Garden Street. I'm the city's representative to CTAC, the Citizens Transportation CERN, regarding the Shoshetti Road crossing and the impending trouble that keeping that closed might have once the growing season and tourist season start upon us. Being that everybody who was on the north side of the creek would have to drive down to the other side of the river, which means moving a lot of fairly good-sized farm equipment down the Lopez Lake Road, oftentimes wider than a lane. Lopez Lake Road has very few shoulders of any kind, and I was wondering what agency might be. I didn't know anything about it, but one of the members was kind enough to forward a email that was sent out to the area residents and apologizing for the length of time that it was taking. Part of the reason that it is taking that time is the creek is very sensitive, have to be done, and they took longer than they were expecting. But they intend to take it before the Board of Supervisors on the April 2nd meeting. And given that they will get approval at that time, they will start shortly after. Another one of the reasons they hadn't proceeded was we're technically in the rainy season. It's been a very light year, obviously. We're still in the rainy season. They wanted to wait a few more weeks until that season gets passed a little bit more, that a 10-day opening on the long-range forecast, they would start work. And that should take place somewhere mid-April, and it was suggested that it would only take 2 to 3 weeks to do the repair work.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else who would like to come forward? Community comments and suggestions.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members. Here to provide comments and additional suggestions regarding the location approved for the restroom at Heritage Square Park. Installing a 12-by-20-foot permanent structure that will reduce the amount of open space in the park and is inconsistent with the master plan when a public restroom is available approximately 100 yards away is still difficult to comprehend. Restrooms that are provided in close proximity to the summer concerts justify the loss of open space. It is a shame that the South County Historical Society, an organization with prestige and respect, which has dedicated itself to the beautification of the village, has not supported the city's efforts and proposals for a restroom that would need to utilize city-owned property currently under lease at the society because of security concerns and its lack of visibility to the public. However, there are two cameras monitored by the police department on these properties to address security concerns. The society's opposition is especially hard for me to understand, given the fact that the society benefits the most. The proceeds from the vendor sales at the summer concert series are a fundraiser for the society for their events and reduce or eliminate their costs for portable restrooms required at these events, as well as being open during the same time frame their properties are open to the public. Therefore, I am making the following suggestions: that the city opens a dialogue with the society to propose a lease modification that will permit the city to utilize the Santa Manuela School parking lot. In 2A and 2B, that includes mitigation of the society's concerns. And lastly, that the size of the restroom approved for the Heritage Park location be reduced and made as a single unit, which would lessen the impact on open space and provide a cost-saving benefit. I'm available to meet with council members and willing to offer my assistance as deemed appropriate by the council.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else who would like to come forward? Okay, seeing no one, we'll close community comments and suggestions, and we will move. This is normally a group of items that the council approves in one action, unless there are items on the consent agenda that a council member would like to pull for further clarification, additional discussion, or an independent action. If you're following along on this evening's agenda, we will be addressing consent items 8A. This is also an opportunity for any member of the audience to come forward and comment on any of the items on consent. So once again, I would ask that you keep your comments brief. If anyone would like to come forward on consent items 8A through 8H, this would be your opportunity. Anyone? Back to the council. What is the will of the council this evening? Any items to pull?
Do we need to pull the 8F because of the revised recommendation?
No, but it would help if you'd include it in your motion, or at least recognize that there's a revised recommendation.
Okay. Any other items? All right. Then I'll for approval of the consent agenda with the additional supplemental recommendation.
So moved.
Second.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Brown.
Yes.
Councilmember Ray.
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello.
Yes.
And Mayor Farr.
Yes. That takes us to 9A, public hearings. We do have one this evening. 9A is consideration of a conditional use permit, number 13-0 Street, and the applicant is NKT Development.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and City Council members. I'm going to have Matt Downing present the staff report for the Panera project this evening.
All right, thank you, Mr. You are considering the construction of a 3,850 square foot fast food restaurant with drive-through located at 1400 West Branch Street. As you can see in the image of the site, it is located at the corner of of Camino Mercado and West Branch Street. That property is zoned plan development 1.1 and has surrounding land uses, including. The project site is approximately a half an acre and is located adjacent to the Hampton Inn and Suites. It was previously approved for a 6,000 square foot sit-down restaurant. With it being located in the plan development 1.1 zoning district, development standards are approved on a property-by-property basis. The conditional use permit, again, is for the 3,850 square foot fast food restaurant with drive-through. the inclusion of the drive-through use permit. The conditional use permit has been required of other drive-through restaurants nearby in the regional commercial zoning district. And one important note that was brought up at the Planning Commission that staff feels is important to mention tonight, the conditional use permit entitlement does run with the land, and therefore the drive-through use could continue if the proposed restaurant were to vacate the space. That could be continued until a different land. As you can see, the proposed building is located approximately in the center of what has been previously prepared for that site. The drive aisle does wrap around the west, south, and east side of the building. And with regard to the Hampton Inn, this back portion of this arm of the Hampton Inn is currently a stairwell, which services all three floors. And this front half is currently, on all three floors, is a hotel room for people. With regard to access, the property does have full ingress and egress from Camino Mercado. There, again, the single drive-through lane wraps around the west, south, and eastern sides of the building. And the drive-through window will be located on the eastern side of the building, away from the Hampton Inn. With regard to parking, the municipal code requires one parking space per 75 square feet of publicly accessible area, 103 rooms, and then two spaces for the manager's suite. The municipal code does allow for a 20% reduction in common parking facilities, which would require, based on these two uses, 111 spaces. And there are currently 123 spaces provided, which only amounts to a 12% reduction in parking. With regard to landscaping, the landscaping was reviewed by both the Architectural Review 12 on the attached resolution. And this basically chose plants from the plant palette that was provided by the applicant. These were chosen based on species characteristics, site features, and the general atmosphere of Arroyo Grande. The Planning Commission did condition the project to include additional landscaping near the intersection of Camino Mercado and West Branch Street to help screen the facilities that are currently in that location that were part accepted Hampton Inn and Suites project. The ARC has reviewed this project twice. The first time was on February 4th, which is the minutes are attachment one of the staff report. At that time, they recommended approval with conditions based on site and building design. These conditions have been incorporated into the site plans that are in front of you tonight. They also reviewed the project on March 2nd to review those modifications, and at that time they were satisfied with the plans addressing their previous concerns, again about the landscaping, which are their full recommended conditions of approval are numbers 9 through 13 in the attached resolution. Now, the Planning Commission reviewed the project last Tuesday on March 19th, and at that time they discussed the proposed signage, which will come back under a separate sign permit, the addition of landscape treatment at the gateway corner, and the exterior lighting design. Now, the project to come back to them to review those three topics and be approved at that time. Further discussion at the Planning Commission meeting was regarding the possibility of additional landscaping near the patio outside, the safety of the existing retaining wall near the Hampton Inn, the potential for a pedestrian connection between the second tier of parking and the restaurant entrance, as well as they discussed the support of the Hampton Inn and Suites for the proposed project. At that time, there was a unanimous recommendation for approval of the project with conditions of approval 65 through 68 being included in the attached resolution. An initial study was completed and a mitigated negative declaration was developed for the project. The mitigation measures were required in some areas in order to help ensure that the project did not significantly impact the environment. The two big areas were air quality and transportation. There were some best management practices. With regard to air quality, the San Luis Obispo County Air Pollution Control District reviewed the proposed project and submitted a recommendation based on the operational impacts of the project. 8 mitigation measures were selected in order to meet the recommendation by the APCD, and those mitigation measures have been included in the MND. With regard to transportation, a traffic impact analysis report was prepared by OmniMeans. There were 4 scenarios, and the short-term No project includes projects that have already been approved and that are entitled but have not yet been fully constructed or completed. And the cumulative or long-term project and no project scenarios. It's important to note that the level of service was within all acceptable jurisdictional standards and would remain at the same level as the previously entitled 6,000 square foot restaurant if it were to be built under today's existing baseline. In the Tribune and posted at City Hall on March 15th. One member of the public reviewed plans at City Hall on Friday, March 22nd, after the council staff report had gone out. And after reviewing the project plan, the member of the public did not appear to have any concerns with the project. And that concludes staff's presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
All right, questions on the staff report?
Best addressed to you or to Mr. Peachy, so I'll ask it and then we'll kind of to see who's best to answer it. Now, of course, naturally, I've turned away from the right page. It's my concern is I can't tell from the plans. Go backwards one. That one. Thank you. Seemed to discuss the pedestrian access from the second tier, but coming from the west side where the Hampton Inn is, it looks like as that walkway crosses the drive lane, in the one that I'm looking at, it doesn't look like there's any kind of treatment change, right, showing that that's a potential pedestrian crossing at the entrance of the of what will be vehicle traffic. It may be just that I'm looking at something that's too small, but it looks like it's colored the same as the entrance itself.
Correct, and I will actually... on the site plan itself, it does indicate pervious material right here. I'm trying to find which sheet would be the best to show you. Actually, it is on the site plan. There does appear to be...
I'm looking at DP.
Seem to suggest that there is some delineation between the pedestrian crossing and the drive aisle. However, Mr. Peachy might be able to better address that.
Okay. I'll wait till he comes up. Thank you.
And I would just add, I believe it's a mislabeled number.
It's such
a crossing from the Hampton sidewalk, if you will, to the Panera restaurant.
It didn't occur to me to look at 21. I looked at 24 and said, well, it's probably not tray storage. So, okay, thank you for that.
Nick Tompkins, because he came by my office and he didn't have an answer. Is there any... specific traffic information from Panera regarding this type of drive-through in terms of the traffic flows they're going to get?
At this time, the inclusion of drive-throughs for Panera stores is kind of a newer thing. They've remodeled, so they don't have actual traffic numbers, but they do have increased sales activity. Those numbers are available, and according to the applicant and Panera management, the inclusion of a drive-through for each store only adds about 10 to 15% in sales for each store.
This is going to be a drive-through only, as I understand it.
No, it will not. So what this does, if I may, Panera is attempting to reach out to a wider customer base. So parents with children in the car, the elderly who have issues getting in and out of their vehicles,
okay.
And they only anticipate an increase in sales about 10 to 15%.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Since right now, did you want Mike to add anything?
If Mr. Peachy would like to come up and speak in support of the project.
Anything you'd like to add?
Okay. It's Mike Peachy at 478 Rosemary Lane, and I'm here tonight to get my restaurant merit badge. and... I miss those days. That was a fun time as a kid. So it was nice to see them up here. I think Matt's done a great job, and I think Matt explained the traffic impact with Panera. Panera explained to me that this is the industry calls them a casual, quick, sit-down restaurant. So as Matt mentioned before, the drive-thru adds additional accessibility to their project, but it is a sit-down restaurant. The questions with, the mitigation measures or whatever other questions. We've worked this week to look at the connectivity from the upper parking lot And when I first went out there on the one, on the most sub oak tree, we could probably provide a pathway from the upper parking lot. We've looked at the adding additional landscaping, which came from Kristen. It wasn't a condition, but I think we can accommodate that. I've talked to a landscape architect, David Foote, with Firma, and we're coming up with some concept, not only with trying to mitigate that retaining wall, but with landscaping. And we think it's an important corner because of the exit. So we're putting in a good effort, and we'll be probably working with staff to come up with a good solution. So if you have any questions, I'm here to support the project. And I know a lot more about traffic and that good process for me. So thank you for this consideration tonight.
Thank you. I did have one quick question, Teresa. That site was always designated a restaurant site, was it not? And originally?
Correct. The current entitlement, the previously approved project, was approved for a 6,000 square foot sit-down restaurant.
Okay. All right. All right. If there are no other questions, then this is a public hearing, and I would invite members of the audience to come forward if.
Steve Ross, 211 Garden Street. Really like the project. Anything that can bring further services to the community is a good thing, I think. It's a cumbersome spot to. The only problem I had was we seem to have added quite a bit of landscaping, and, you know, the city's trying to conserve water. And so my concern would be that we need to be careful if we're going to add a lot of landscape to what that landscape might be. And all of the landscaping, besides planting stuff that was going to require water. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to come forward on 9A? No one? All right. We'll close the public hearing and back to the council. We'll start with Council Member Ray.
Real quick, I don't have an answer to that question that Steve just brought up. Can you maybe comment about the irrigation or irrigable landscape?
Yes. Thank you, Council Member Ray. All landscaping and irrigation systems shall be in compliance with the City of Rio Grande's Water Conservation Program. So those details will be reviewed by the Director of Public Works to make sure that it conforms with that standard.
Great. Thank you. Well, I'll make it short and sweet and say the findings for approval, and I can do the same with the required CEQA findings. So I have no problem and looking forward to having them come to Rio Grande. That's it.
All right. Thank you. Council Member Brown.
I have nothing further to add. I'm in complete agreement with Council Member Ray.
Right. One issue was the traffic, and we did review that. It's equivalent to the existing approval, so I too don't have any problem with this going forward. I do look forward to seeing the synergy here between this and the Hampton Inn. I think it's an interesting combination.
All right. Mayor Pro Tem.
I'm going to support this 9,000-square-foot sit-down restaurant here. I'm going to take the approach that this is going to be fabulously successful. And my question would be is, what happens when the lot is full? Where does the overflow go for parking?
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem.
Well, I hope that doesn't happen, but I guess I hope it does happen, too, but that's the only reservation I may have about this, but I'll support this tonight. I think it's a great addition. I'm looking forward to having them with us.
Well, I'm going to add my positive comments to this project. you know, I took a look at the landscaping plan as well, and I think my only concern was I wasn't familiar with a tree species that were quoted there. I just hope they're not going to shed like some of the other, you know, making both a walking hazard and you know, shed onto the walkways there. So to the extent that our arborists can take a look and make sure that what we're putting in there are practical for the location, that would be good. As far as the additional landscaping, I think Mr. Ross's comments is the necessity for slope stabilization and erosion and all of those other things. So I'm hopeful that there will be some ground cover on that slope that will be consistent with what the Hampton Inn has already put in there. I'm not quite sure how to, so the fact that they've been able to have some success with what they planted on that slope, I'm hoping that that same recipe carries over out to the corner of Camino Mercado. Maybe Teresa or Matt, you can make a note to whoever does the landscaping. I'm sure they're going to make it look relatively consistent. I'm up at the Hampton Inn this past weekend because I had several guests that were staying there, and they were, in fact, I think they were full. And even with a hotel that was fully booked, there were still probably, I want to say, at least a dozen parking places still open. I realize that's kind of a roll of the dice because it depends on what can, I think with the mix of the drive-through and the you know, the sit-down restaurant, you know, I think they're going to make it okay. So I'm going to support this as well, and would join my colleagues in welcoming Panera Bread to the community.
I'll move approval of a resolution by the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande adopting mitigated negative declaration approving conditional use permit case number 13-001. Allowing for the construction of a 3,850-square-foot drive-through restaurant located at 1400 West Branch, northwest corner of West Branch, Camino Mercado intersection.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Ray?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes.
And Mayor Farrar?
Yes. All right, moving on to item 10, continued business. We council reports. I'll go first. The Council of Governments did meet, and I wanted to let the council know that the discussion we had with regard to the median enhancement matter has been put off until the May meeting, so I will keep you up to speed on that as it develops. There was continued concerns, deal, disaster on Highway 1 between, I think it was Cayucos and San Simeon. And although Caltrans has come forward with a plan, the bicycle community is concerned because they have several, I guess, well-known the communities of Cambria and San Simeon and Cayucos as well. A lot of the business owners are concerned. Members of the Chamber of Commerce have stepped forward as well from those communities and voiced their concerns, because apparently it's not just the bicycle community. Annual events that people driving the streets there are concerned about damage from rocks being thrown up into windshields and very expensive paint jobs, not to mention the safety aspect. So this continues to be an issue. We have several coalitions that are now, so it's not going away anytime soon. We also had quite a number of people that showed up. Several speakers showed up voicing concerns over a multitude of state and federal mandates that they perceived as implementation. So I expect that this matter as well probably isn't going to die down anytime soon. It seems as though there's, at least in the Council of Governments form, that there is a continuing, we'll see what happens with that as well. On the regional transportation side, ridership continues to look good. Farebox recovery continues to look good. We had our mid-year budget review, and we're on our schedule for our budget. The budget is looking good as well, smoothly. Our transition is going well. We had a successful recruitment for a new plant superintendent, and we expect hopefully some news to come forth fairly soon. Paul Karp, who is our interim district administrators, indicated have a new plant, permanent plant superintendent on board fairly soon. That concludes my report, and we'll go to Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First on my list is the APCD. We have an action that we're going to be dealing with, though, is the proposed in-use mobile agricultural equipment regulation exemption. The California Air Resources Bureau is requesting exemption for San Luis Obispo County from upcoming requirements for existing mobile agricultural equipment, the federal standards. And it's entirely because of air that's coming in from the San Joaquin Valley, not our fault at all. So we're taking the measure of trying to get our community exempted from having to comply with some new regulations that are coming in. I think it's completely fair that we do control them. There's no reason to burden our agriculture community with the regulations that are coming in. So we're going to be trying to get that exemption. The budget is we're 67% of the year through, and we've got 67% of the year's revenues in, and I think on the 15th of March, things are going fairly smoothly in terms of day-to-day operation with the authority. One thing we are doing is you'll notice if you go to the fire station in Rio Grande, the fire station in Grover Beach, and the fire station out in Oceanic Community Service District, we've taken the signs down that used to say the Arroyo Grande Fire Department and the Grover Beach Fire Department and Oceanic Community Services District Fire Department. And we're going to have consistent signage put up at all three stations fairly soon. And there was money in the budget for that. Other than that, I have no other reports.
I have a question on that.
Yes.
Joe, the last time we met, it sounded the one that asked questions about the proposal for the Prop 218 vote.
Yes.
And that, can you address what happened with that and what's going forward with that?
We're going to continue the analysis of this. We've asked for a deeper analysis for the staff, everything that had been asked for with no sunset clause. OCSD approved the vote 5-0 the same way. We were the only body that requested a deeper analysis with more discussion on what public outreach would look like, and that's going to be developed.
Jack, Joe, I was wondering, next time the board meets, if you could ask someone to do a bit of research on just what the legal scope of a benefit assessment district, the funds that are derived from a benefit assessment district, funds to be spent only on fire suppression. If you could define what, you know, just what kind of an umbrella we have under, you know, under the scope of fire suppression, and because it seems to me that some of the things that they were mentioning that they couldn't do, some sort of at least an indirect connection to fire suppression. It was the reason why we went to the other funding mechanism.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. My understanding at this point was that it's very specific that it has to be completely fire suppression measures. And the biggest the calls that fire departments, and this is not exclusive to us, majority of the calls that you respond to are medical assist or accident response and are not fire suppression. And I'll ask for even further definition on this, but it's been explained that that's a very clear-cut distinction. But I'll ask at the next meeting and come back with more.
Brought up related to things like training. And it would seem to me that if the training was focused on suppression techniques, things related to that, that at least some of the training costs, you know, that are embodied under suppression could be offset.
That's good.
Okay.
Joe, I'm sorry. I got one more follow-up question because this is nagging at me with regard to what I asked you before. Is that the only bite at the apple that this council is going to get regarding the vote that's going to go forward on whether or not to do that?
No, the board. And if the Roy Granny City Council says we're not going to go forward with it, I'm not going to vote yes.
So when do you anticipate, I mean, how, I don't know the process. At this point, what's going to happen?
I think we're looking at
20. Thank you.
Yeah, in addition to the fire staff coming back to the board, I also wanted to add that I've had a conversation with the fire chief, and he's going to specifically come back to the council, probably May, just to cover answers to the questions and concerns that were expressed by the council that they do to cover those concerns.
And so will there be an official vote from each of the councils to their reps kind of okaying whatever final that looks like? Or I don't know the process.
I think that the council is going to have to ratify any decisions that are made. Or am I mistaken there, Steve?
We already have.
All right. So
I, to be more comfortable, I'd rather go back to the chief and kind of understand the whole process before I get into those specifics. But I did want you to know that the chief's going to be back soon with a response and follow-up to the direction that the council gave him at the last meeting.
But I'll tell you right now, I'm going to take my guidance. That's tell all basically.
My question is, didn't we already did when y'all? At what point does that become an official? Yes, we're going ahead in this form. That's my question. I'm wondering if we haven't already done that.
No, it has not.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Was that it, Joe?
That's it.
Thanks, Joe.
Sure.
All right. Then we will move on to Councilmember Guthrie.
South County Area Transit has not met yet since my last report, which leaves the HSOC, who met last week. Different agencies that are putting together homeless shelter programs right now gave reports. I'm happy to report that the El Camino homeless group up in Atascadero is actually in escrow on their property and moving forward so that there will be a permanent and they better put together and larger facility available in the North County here in the not-too-distant future. In the Five Cities area, they're still looking at a couple of pieces of property. I think key for us here is that the county did approve a warming station, which I'm sure we won't see, well, I doubt we'll see used this year, but they are going to be coming to the city for a some sort of a use permit for a warming station on Grand Avenue where the county building is there, something that we'll see them coming back within the future. And then we did have something of a goal-setting session. Specifically, we kind of changed our direction here, and as a group, they're moving with what's called Housing First, which is to sort of identify the most needs, not the wrong word, right word, but the most hardcore homeless, and instead of trying to prepare them to go into housing and then get them into housing, to get them in housing first where you have, let me say, more control, and from that point forward deal with all their issues, whether it's drug abuse or their health issues or their mental illness or whatever, but get them into housing first. And this has actually proven to be a very successful program. It's just a question of whether you can really prioritize, you know, things like Section 8 housing, where you're going to commit the Section 8 housing to this homeless population and not to, you know, not to people who maybe have just barely fallen into homelessness. Instead, you're going to focus on hardcore. And that's actually going to be a very difficult decision for really the Housing Authority in San Luis Obispo, who will be making most of these decisions. That was a pretty major change in direction from where we were in the past, where we were really focusing on services. I think that the services are kind of at a what I call plateau, and this direction for this year is to see what we can do with this housing first approach, which has been used very successfully even here in this county, but in other areas been exceptionally successful. So that's my report for HSOC and my other committees now.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Ray.
Okay, for EVC. Of interesting things. We had a presentation by Randy Flam, and he's the president and CEO of IQMS up in Paso Robles. They're some sort of digital software/data. I'm not entirely sure. I didn't put it in my notes, but the big thing is that they're expanding and hiring several positions. When I say several, I'm talking on the order of 60 to 100. Mm-hmm. So it's nice in that it's indicative of maybe the economy taking a couple nice turns. In addition, the area around it's 332 acres on Tank Farm Road. It's on county land. Basically, Chevron is coming in to rehabilitate that and build do some site restoration, build a lot of open space, and then an office park that would be leasing out to several agencies. That is at the very beginnings of the negotiations with the county, so I'm sure I'll hear more on that as the years progress, but that's certainly not something that's going to move forward right now. So that's EVC. They meet again tomorrow, so it's unfortunate that it's coming a month behind on our reports. Secondly, for Zone 3, Zone 3 met last week, and a couple things to report. The capacity is at 75%, so it's down 1% from the last time that I reported. That shouldn't be any big surprise to anyone. The biggest issue is we're struggling with the water availability analysis that is needed to go forward with the habitat conservation plan, and essentially, if I would be so bold as to say that the Zone 3 people are not happy with the water availability analysis, and that's happened a couple times now, so we're trying to figure out how to get the issues that we want rectified. So that's the only big changes since my last report there. CJPIA, normal business, nothing to report there except for regular old expenditures and budgetary stuff. Tourism met 2 weeks ago, and we talked about specifically the implementation of the new bid and what the advisory board might look like and what administrative costs might come as a result of running the bid. Nothing was really discussed on there. We just sort of talked about coming up with those answers and maybe what budget categories we would need to budget for going forward based on the numbers that we would expect to bring on TOT. Then adding under my other here, I met with Arroyo Grande and Bloom last week with regard to art and public art, and there's some exciting things coming down the pipe there, not the least of which is what will amount to a temporary art program where they're purchasing some, I'm not entirely sure what the material is, but they're large roosters, 3 feet roosters, and the idea is that we'll get 12 to 24 of them and have various community groups and people decorate them as art, have them placed around the city, and then have some sort of a contest or judging involved with that. So none of that's in stone yet, but the first one has been ordered, so we should see what that rooster looks like very soon. They got their first seed money from the Village Improvement Association, so there's some money that's coming into the bank to get us started. And I have to just give some major props to Bob Lund and Trudy Jarrett, who have really taken that ball and run with it. So there will be lots more to report to you in the next few months. That's my reports.
Karen, did you want to say a word about the suggestion that you made with regard to historic restoration?
I was going to do that under council comments.
Okay.
So, all right. Thank you.
Just sort of seemed to fit a little bit, so
yes.
I thought you might want to do it
yes.
now, but we can wait. Councilmember?
Integrated Waste Management met, and it was mainly an orientation meeting for new members. We had a fantastic barbecue, amazing. Other than that, there's not a whole lot to report. We did talk about trying to figure out ways to show appreciation to Mr. Worrell for the work that he's done. And it was a spirited debate, discussion about Cambria. Cambria was there. They're trying to lift their level of severity in their water. And they were trying to argue both for and against as to whether or not the RAC should comment on Cambria's request to do that. And it was going before the county to try it based on their conservation successful conservation, that they should be allowed to lift their severity, and so that's going to be interesting going forward. And there's a lot of debate on that issue. So that's my report, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. All right, moving on to item 13. City Council member items. We have none. Item 14, City Manager.
Sir.
Council communications.
I was instructed of when to do that there, too. Apologies. You know, I had a brainstorm the other day, and I'm excited that it was received well. My thought was, but that in particular, RP with our deep historic roots and long-term preservation efforts, that we might institute a historic preservation award. And the idea would be that it would go to people who have chosen, really at their own expense, to beautification residences within the city. So it's just an idea I had. I floated it past the mayor. I floated it past our city manager, and it seems to be to have been received well. So perhaps we might be able to agendize that and give that to some consideration.
Okay. Maybe some consensus for Steve. Can you do a little bit of follow-up and see where we might go with that? Is that okay with everybody?
Great.
Okay.
And just really quickly, congratulations to our mayor, who had a little bit of a busy weekend. Left hand is feeling well. Thank you, and congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate that. On that note, I just wanted to indicate that I will be out of town March 31st through April 12th. So, anyway, I just wanted to let you know that I'll have some downtime for those 2 weeks, at least as far as the city is concerned. Any other council communication? All right. Anything, Steve?
No.
Update on whether we're going to, are we definitely moving towards potential cancellation of the first meeting in April?
Yeah, I believe that was on the consent. So we're told that the next meeting will be canceled.
Okay, good. All right, that takes us to item 17, community comments and suggestions. Our final community comments and suggestions. Anyone would like to come forward? Steve? Barbara? John? Any? Closed session. And before we do that, if you note on your agenda, item 19, we're going to be discussing real property issues. Any member of the public would like to come forward and comment on that closed session item, this would be an opportunity. Anyone? All right, we'll close the closed session at this time. We will reconvene to open session. We will not make a report out until our next regularly scheduled council meeting. All right, so we are adjourned at this time. Thank you.